From the live music capital of the world, Austin, Texas, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM, broadcasting tonight from the studios of KLBJ Radio AM 590. I am here for TalkFest, third time I've done it. Three times a charm, right? Come on by, wherever you live in Texas. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on tonight. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie here in Austin, Texas. Alex Jones, award-winning documentary filmmaker, political researcher, talk show host in his own accord. His latest films, Terror Storm, also Endgame, reached high as the number one on Amazon's best-selling films, the definitive work on government-sponsored terrorism as well. Alex Jones, our guest tonight, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hello, Alex. Good to see you again.
George, you're a class act, and I am always honored to be part of the Coast to Coast AM.com phenomenon. So it's great to have you here in my town, and we're just love having you here. You're an absolute god here in Austin, Texas.
The last time I was here, you did not tell me about these bats that hang out around this place.
And I'm not correcting you. You're right. It's 1.5 million under the Congress Street bridge, a few miles from here. But that's one of their small nests in the city.
What?
They get in all the different houses. They get in the parking garages. But there is a big cave out in the mountains west of Austin that has close to 10 million of the Mexican brown bat in it, and the largest population of bats in North America is in Austin, Texas.
Oh, my God. Do they bite anybody?
No, they're little bitty brown, you know, flying mice, basically. Fleeter mice,
insects,
as they say.
They go for the insects.
We love them. They eat the mosquitoes and the rest of us. They fly over the Colorado River and the rest of it. But if you're out, you know, during the spring, summer, and even into the winter, it's been warmer. So they just left a few weeks ago. They're not normally here. They go down to Mexico this time of the year, but they were here later this year. You'll be outside, and just 20 of them will fly right by your head. I mean, I've even felt them flap. They just spin around you and... But there is a danger. My grandfather, who went to UT, he was big into you know, biology and also geology. And one of his professors was out in the hills outside Austin actually researching these very bats back in the 40s.
Okay, so they've been around a long time here.
Yeah, and he got rabies, not from being bitten, but they say you can actually get it sometimes if it's fresh from their saliva coming down and you breathe it in.
Oh, my God.
And he died of rabies.
Unbelievable.
So there's the story about the bats.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, it's good to have you here, Alex.
And hopefully we won't get rabies from the bats.
Yeah,
so wild. I actually have, you know, rabies from them.
And you're going to be at the Talk Fest tomorrow?
If you invite me, I'd love to be there.
Well, I'll let you know by the end of the show whether I invite you or not.
All right. I better be on my best behavior then.
Absolutely not. I have a little present for you.
You know, that's funny. I brought you a present, too.
Well, let me give you yours first. You know, I call you the Bulldog.
And that nickname is now stuck.
Yeah, it is. And some people who were Alex Jones fans in the beginning thought I was attacking you when I called you that. That's a compliment. What a bulldog means, it's an animal that once it bites, and it doesn't bite a lot. I love dogs, okay? But if a bulldog grabs your leg, it's not going to let go. And that's you. That's your journalistic background, Alex. Once you get going, you don't let go. So here, I want to give you compliments of Tom, who ran out to our local pet store, this bone.
Thank you. Thank you for this Bulldog Award.
You've got it. Now, where's my present?
You know, it's funny. I brought you a present, too. And I'm glad now to find out you've already got meteorites. I have a couple meteorites, and I just got into collecting them last year. So I thought, you know, I'll go to one of the local stores and buy meteorites and also get Tom Danheiser one. But I didn't like the meteorites they had. So I got you a Carnosaur tooth, one of the oldest Carnosaurs.
It's a dinosaur.
Yes.
An old dinosaur.
Yes, it is the precursor. It's the Allosaurus of the Carnosaurus family, and it's 150-plus million old carnivorous tooth. And George, here is your Carnosaur Allosaurus tooth.
This is incredible.
Is this
for real? It's not plastic.
No, right? It is. Well, does it look like plastic? Does it feel like plastic?
No. And you've got it encased here, though.
And I also got Tom a Megalodon, prehistoric great white.
Megalodon.
But they got up to 60, 70 feet, not just 20.
That's Alex, thank you.
You didn't have to do that.
Well,
I love these things.
Well, George, I've never really given you anything. You've done so much for me and my films and the work I do. I really do owe you. But I thought this was something classy. You're also into, you know, strange and unusual things. And, I mean, here it is.
This is like a three-inch tooth.
Yeah, no, it's one of the...
You sure it didn't come out of your mouth?
Oh, man.
Kidding, Alex. Only kidding.
No, I wish I had teeth like that.
No, thank you, though. I appreciate it. That is a great gift.
You bet. Thank you, George.
I have brought you along, as we do every time that we are here in Austin, Texas, to talk a little bit about what's happening around this planet. Because it just seems, Alex, that every year we've been talking about this, they are getting closer and closer to fulfilling their plan.
They're tightening down the screws.
They are. And we continue to fight back. And maybe they give it ground a little bit, and maybe we do. But I got to tell you, to me, the perception is that they are slowly taking the high ground.
It's like a constrictor, a boa constrictor. When it wraps around its prey, when the prey breathes out before they get another breath in, it tightens up on you. And the people are waking up. Humanity is waking up to secret government, to shadow government. People are starting to question the propaganda they're fed more than ever. But at the same time, you're right, the New World Order is accelerating their program of dehumanization, their end game. And unfortunately, none of what I'm going to cover here tonight with you, George, as you know, you're on top of this. I hear a lot of your guests discuss things along a similar line. Unfortunately, none of this is even conspiracy theory. This is fact. The global elite openly state in thousands of documents, United Nations, biological diversity assessments, major foundations, top professors at every major university say that they want a world government in place so they can then forcibly have one-child policies, use global carbon taxes to regulate with social workers over how big your home is, how you live your life.
They want to control your thermostat in California now, electronically. You can't even touch it.
They've introduced the bill. Europe's trying to do it as well, where they remote control, and it all sounds good, but once they set that precedent for total control, they're in there, and they state that once their world government, their global dictatorship is in place, and no armies or no nations can challenge them. See, with Hitler, who called for a new world order, and others, or the Soviets, who called for a new world order, nations have acted as firewalls, or you were in the Navy, bulkheads in a ship.
Yep.
If one compartment floods, it can't flood the whole thing.
Seal it off. Move on.
But the scientific dictatorship began saying about 1900 with the British and Lord Milner right through to today that they were going to be creeping about it and take over institutions and take over the universities and thought, and that once their dictatorship was in place, their global dictatorship of the mind, then they will start carrying out the extermination. They're already putting things in our water. By the way, now Reuters and Scientific American admitting that fluoride lowers IQ by 20 points, admitting that it is a chemical weapon. The Nazis used it in the death camps. Everything we talked about a decade ago, George, things you talked about a decade ago, is now becoming mainstream. So tonight we've got that. Also, how the globalist, 3 years ago I heard you talk about it on air. It wasn't just me. Daniel Esselin talked about it. Inside Bilderberg leaks,
yes,
that they were going to pop the subprime mortgage. You heard it here first from our sources. They have precipitated this to consolidate lending agencies under them, to squeeze the population.
And crush our form of economy.
Absolutely. And the Europeans are blaming us for what's happening right now, but it's the European financial institutions that literally own this nation and that are orchestrating all of this. And then also the whole cashless society control grid, the face scanning cameras, the what you mentioned about remote controlling our thermostats, what type of light bulbs we can use. All of this ties in. Face scanning cameras doesn't stop there. Of course, I knew this 8-9 years ago. They'd already put it in. I saw it in the federal legislation to fund it. Microphones have gone up in every major city, wired into FEMA.
Cameras are everywhere.
And remember 5 years ago they first reported, oh, this town in Florida, everybody that drives through it has their record run.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That was already in place 6-7 years ago. Now it's nationwide, reading your license plates, All of this set up, designed by the Pentagon, developed by MIT. But the difference is, I would talk about this a decade ago. You would talk about this a decade ago or more. Now, they're just admitting it all, but putting their spin on it. And the cops that are involved in it, the people in the government that are involved, most of them are good people. They're compartmentalized, too. They don't see the big picture, so we can put the Lego pieces together for folks.
Now, you and I agree on several major points here. And one is, it's happening now, and it's happening very fast.
It's accelerating.
Why? 10 years ago, when it was just starting to get known, why did they seem to have so much patience then, and why are they speeding it up now?
They're arrogant. The elite is not invincible. They have the top scientists, the top sociologists, the top PR men from every major discipline, psychology. They openly publish, just last year, the British Ministry of Defense put out a several hundred page report. London Guardian reported on it. They said we're setting up a world government. They said the people are going to be trying to resist this. We're going to use a police state to suppress them. They admitted it all, but then it had to come out and say that the elite may lose, and because the people are getting wise to them. So they thought they could creep along. They were arrogant. They thought they could ignore you, ignore me, ignore millions of other people who weren't as prominent. They had hubris. That thing that's brought down so many elites in the past.
Sure.
And now they realize that the jig is up, the consciousness is raising, the dam has broken, so they're accelerating. They're also about 5-6 years in their own policy reports behind in putting all this in. So they've got the pole position in this Indy 500 race, but their car's smoking, it's got bald tires, they're almost out of gas. And in a way, that's almost even more scary because their system's unraveling, falling apart.
That's scary because who knows what they'll do? Desperate people do desperate things.
And you stole my thunder. Exactly, George. That's the problem, is that we are getting the initiative. We're challenging them right as their New World Order begins to come to fruition. But at the same time, the global architects, the map makers of the mind, have shown that they are completely ruthless, and that they prepared. They made plans for people waking up and fighting back. They just didn't expect it to be this big.
We need to talk with you tonight about their plan, too, to take away guns, because that's out there. They want to do that.
They just passed the biggest
Americans.
You're right. In fact, George, I'm glad you brought that up. As you know, they just passed the biggest gun control bill ever. Just 2 weeks ago, and no one even knows about it. It hasn't been a big issue because it was packaged as pro-gun, and the NRA, that was actually founded as a gun control group, they actually supported the 68 Gun Control Act, the gun control law in 94, 93, the 2000 Act. I'm not attacking NRA members. And Gunners of America has come out and put out a big report giving the court cases. The NRA is now arguing in federal court for gun control. It's going to the Supreme Court. And so here in the final phase, we're really finding out who everybody is. The mask is coming off.
And it's coming off in a big way.
Yeah, they just passed the Veterans Disarmament Act, is what Gunners of America, the only true gun owner group, they have about 150,000 members, second largest group in the country. They just passed this, and the troops coming home, if they have PTSD or any other psychological designation, without being convicted, without even having a misdemeanor, they're not going to be able to own guns. A lot of police officers who have PTSD and other problems aren't going to be able to own guns. And absolutely, George.
When we come back, Alex, I want to talk with you specifically about what's happening in this mortgage crisis, because it's affecting a lot of people, but there could be that sinister reason why. What's up with Endgame and, of course, the other award-winning video you have, Terrorstorm?
Well, thank you, George. With Endgame, it's done better than any other film we've ever put out. It was 2 years in the making. You covered it here live when I was detained, basically arrested in Canada, covering Bilderberg in 2006. Then we went to Istanbul, Turkey, to cover Bilderberg group there, being the cameraman being followed by secret agents, being spied on, the guys out front covering their faces while they talk on their cell phones. And, of course, going back 2.5 years ago and before that, not just 2006 Bilderberg, but 2005 Bilderberg, we came on air on this show in 2005 and 2006, myself and Estelon, with sources inside saying Bilderberg wants to pop the mortgage bubble to start a controlled collapse so they can consolidate the economy further.
All right, we'll talk more about that with Alex Jones. His website's Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, linked up at Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest tonight, Alex Jones. A little bit later on tonight, we'll open up the phone lines, give you an opportunity to question Mr. Jones as well, the Bulldog. Alex, there's a lot on our plate tonight that I want to talk with you about, and I haven't had time because you've been busy and I've been busy, but at least this time we have this opportunity for a couple hours at least to chat with you about all kinds of things, including, of course, this incredible subprime mortgage crisis, which is now more than that. It's leaking into every sector in the economy. And it just seems like it popped up on us, even though it was there, it was growing, festering for a long, long time.
Well, you know, if folks get Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, by the way, it's free on Google Video.
Free?
Yeah, it's free.
All right.
Folks can go to Google Video in the next few days and watch it there, or get the DVD at Infowars.com. It's quality film shot in high def. They will see a film that we started producing in 2006 with interviews with Daniel Estulin and Jim Tucker after they had just debriefed their sources from inside the hotel where Bilderberg was meeting that day. And I come up to him with a camera and I say, "What's the hottest news? What's the intel?" And then I went back to my hotel room and was on your show.
Right, right. And I remember that.
And they said, well, and this is before anybody had heard of subprime. This is when they said everything was wonderful. I'm not trying to toot our horn here, but this is just one example of how everything we talk about is documented, is vetted. I mean, I'm neurotic about it. And I didn't just believe Estulin or Tucker. Year after year, whatever information they get from their sources, and it's not just people in the hotel who they, get there a week before, talk to them, tell them, hey, these are corrupt people, mm-hmm. tell us what they're talking about while you're serving them tea and crumpets. It's also CIA. It's also Mossad. It's also people who are within the intelligence community who are guarding them, who are very upset to hear when the Bilderberg Group talks about how they plan to kill 80% of us. I mean, that'll get people inside government and inside corporations to start leaking. And Estulin and Tucker both said the European elite that dominates Bilderberg Group, since SS commander, Prince of the Netherlands, husband of the Queen.
Gustav.
Of the Netherlands.
Was it Prince Gustav?
Well, that's one of them. No, this, of course, I'm having one of those moments.
Well, it doesn't matter. We can't pronounce his name anyway.
It'll pop in my head in just a moment. But the point is that since he founded it, they are planning in the next 2 years, and we said this on air, to artificially go in and pop the, quote, subprime mortgage bubble to then cause a cascade where the credit card bills, they knew that people were mortgaging their houses to get money to pay their other bills. They understood it was a key place in the economy, that if they hamstrung that, it would cause a ripple effect, and that it would then domino from there and bring down markets worldwide. Now, even the Financial Times of London then, 3 months ago, admitted that big central banks and the largest banks stood to gain by this, and they admitted that they were helping to grease the skids for it. So here is a direct evidence where we have the Bilderberg Group saying that they were going to pop the subprime mortgage to cause this to start unraveling so they can come in and then use the government regulators that they put in positions of power. And by the way, it was the same people that run the Bilderberg Group back in the 90s that changed the rules where now they just don't have fractional reserve banking, where a bank can loan out 10 times what it actually has in deposits, but they can basically loan out unlimited amounts, and where the banks themselves could certify corporate paper. That is the bundling.
Was this a trick, though, Alex? Was this a setup? Was this, let's let all these banks and mortgage companies make these loans so available to people because we know we're going to get them. We're going to get them later. And so somebody would buy a $500,000 home with no income verification, and there's no way they could afford it. But they kept the interest rate so low for the first few years, they could afford it. They thought they were you know, on the top of the mountain. And then all of a sudden, those interest rates went from 2.5% on those low arms
to 8%.
To 8, and they couldn't afford it. They went under. They're foreclosed. Was this a plan?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm saying, is that the Bilderberg Group, and who makes up the Bilderberg Group? The heads of N.M. Rothschild, the heads of Chase Manhattan Citibank, the heads of all the largest
and
private
people
banks.
People we might not even know.
Absolutely. But if you go to Bilderberg, and we got video of... all of this royalty, Queen Beatrix, the daughter of the founder of Bilderberg, Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. And there they all are. There's Governor Pataki coming out with Rockefeller and helping him into the armored Suburban. They, in the 90s, openly went to the IMF, the World Bank, the Federal Reserve, all the different central banks that these private families literally own, and they said, take the restrictions off in the early 1990s. They took the restrictions off, and it's just like this. When I was a poor college student and couldn't pay my bills, I got credit cards in the mail every week. Now that I'm not in, you know, bad debt and I make a little bit of money, I get a credit card maybe once a month in the mail.
And then they deny you when you want it. Right?
Exactly. In fact, I had one card because I always paid it off. They canceled it and said, you're not the type of customer we want. We want somebody who is in debt. So, yeah, that's a microcosm of it. So to boil it down, they created the climate. You know, they're blaming people that didn't have a good job or didn't have any credit who went and got these loans. And certainly they're the suckers. That's like a sucker who buys crack cocaine from a crack dealer. Yeah, they're to blame, but the crack dealer is more to blame. They created the financial atmosphere where this could happen. They created the financial climate where this could happen. Just like loan sharks, they got everybody way out extended on the credit cards, 25-30%. That's now coming due compounded. And they openly stated in Bilderberg Group meeting in 2005, 2006, and 2007 that they were forcibly popping this, and then suddenly you saw the media, the dominant media that they own and control, the big international corporate media saying, subprime's going to pop, subprime's bad, they've got to stop. And then those big central banks that create credit out of nothing, that issue liquidity out of nothing, that control the treasuries that literally print the money, they then, just like they did on the margin call, but in slow motion from 1929, they just cut off the money about 5 months ago, and that was in the news. The big banks just cut off the money and wouldn't buy the subprime paper, the corporate paper, anymore from the medium and small banks. Now they're going to consolidate, blow all those out. The government's going to come in, quote, aiding people with $600 a piece, a paltry sum. And then on top of it, the central bank here in the United States, the privately owned Federal Reserve, they now have first had a 25 basis point now earlier this week on Monday or Tuesday. They had a 75 point basis cut. What does that do? The dollar's already down by 60%+ from the opening of the euro's value in 2000. Now that they come out and do that and cut interest rates again, the dollar goes down even more. And so it takes more of those devalued dollars to buy those same stocks. So the illusion of the stock market, you know, staying stable at about 12,000 holds, but they're actually destroying the basis of the dollar as the world reserve currency. We don't really make anything in this country anymore. We don't really have anything anymore of substance through globalism, which they engineered. They've offshored it all. Now they have us right where they want us, and they are destroying the dollar while giving us the illusion of a stock market that's up, and it's all by design. It's all engineered.
I had some open lines during the full moon few days ago because of tonight, knowing you were going to be on this program, which we normally reserve for open lines. Somebody called and told me Bethlehem Steel, the building that used to house one of our largest steel plants, is being converted into a casino. Can you believe that?
Yeah, well, I'm not knocking casinos, but when you don't have factories anymore.
Yeah, I know it, but my God, you're right.
And every town in the country now is basically opening casinos. How are people going to make money to even go to those casinos? How are people going to make money to get the plasma TVs made by slaves in China if we don't have the jobs anymore? And then you read these comments. I saw a story out of the Milwaukee paper on Tuesday, and it was all the major universities. heads and the heads of the departments being brought to this meeting and being told, funded by the IMF and World Bank, that we work for global government now. America deserves to have their standard of living destroyed. All of this is happening so the new world order can rise. I mean, they were just right there in the newspaper. I hear other talk show hosts and reports out of Europe where they're bragging about what's happening. This is all being done by design.
This is what they want. They want Americans on their knees begging for help from someone to come and give us relief. And that's what they want to do. They want our tough middle class that was the backbone of this country for so many years during major wars. They want these people, these families, to be on their knees saying, please don't take our homes. Please don't take our cars. Please don't take our jobs.
And then government is the savior.
And government will save you under this umbrella of a one world order where the troops will come in and everything will be done. And initially, people will say, my gosh, you've saved me. You know, when they used to talk about the Antichrist would be someone who tricks us, who comes in under the auspices of trying to help us.
Help bringing peace, helping.
And then all of a sudden, we realize who he is. I'm beginning to wonder if the Antichrist might be the New World Order.
Well, there's no doubt that they're into the occult. They believe in it. They call it, if you go back to the Club of Rome, which is an auxiliary think tank of the mm-hmm. Bilderberg Group, founded by them in the 60s, and I mean, this is in Endgame, their official documents from the UT Library here in Austin, Texas, University of Texas. This is in Endgame. And they said, we're going to create a fake global warming scare and get a carbon tax on what humans exhale and plants breathe, literally tax life. They said we're going to have 10 financial kingdoms. And I do a secular show to you. But at the same time, the Bible says there's going to be 10 kings, 10 kingdoms that give their power unto it. So they use this biblical nomenclature, and they talk about this great...
And they back into it.
Exactly, this great world leader that they're going to have. But you're absolutely right. Government and the corporations that own and control it, not your average corporation, but the big dominant Fortune 100, they want us dependent. Everything is get you on welfare, get you in the criminal justice system, or, you know, get you under their control.
Get you to need us.
To need them, just like the mafia, just like a loan shark. And everything they did was offshore everything, globalize, make us, you know, fat and happy, and now they're destroying the dollar. Now they're destroying basically everything. Now they've gotten us totally leveraged out like a crackhead. They've got us exactly where they want us, and now they're going to pose as the savior. But in reality, if they really wanted to fix the problems we have, and they could do this overnight, and there's been major policy reports mm-hmm. put out on this. Jim Cramer's talked about it and now said...
Cramer's furious with the Fed right now.
In fact, how have things changed where Ron Paul is on Jim Cramer's Real Money on MSNBC for 12 minutes, and Jim Cramer's saying it's a private thing, it's private, it's out of control, these private bankers are raping us, they're destroying the dollar, they need to be investigated. Ron Paul's saying they stole the gold out of Fort Knox, which is admitted, and Cramer's going, yes, yes, yes. That shows, and I've even talked to people who are worth billions of dollars, you know, in the establishment. And do you know what they're doing? They're moving to the Cook Islands. They're moving to...
Well, we can't move, Alex. You're not going to move. I'm not
going to
move.
We're going down with
the
ship.
In this. We're not going to go down. But I'm going to stay in this ship, and so are you, and we are going to patch every leak that we find.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that we don't have anywhere to run, but a lot of people in the establishment are fleeing the country. They finally have seen what they've been living in their whole life, believing in this New World Order system. Now they see just how predatory it is, and I've asked some of these wealthy people, and I was talking to one of these wealthy people's lawyers, and they said, yeah, the idea from, you know, the upper elite who aren't going along with this is the U.S. isn't even going to be here. And I said, what does that mean? They just said, I don't know. They just said, it's as if the U.S. isn't even going to be here.
Well, of course, he believes we're going to have this North American alliance, the union.
When you read the Security and Prosperity Partnership documents that Judicial Watch had to sue for in 2006, it says we're going to have a carbon tax, we're going to regulate everybody, we're going to use a financial collapse to sell the public See, they create the crisis, problem, reaction, solution, mm-hmm. Hegelian dialectic, and then they offer the solution. Oh, terrorist hit us. We've got to have international security perimeter around North America from Alaska to southern Mexico on the border of Guatemala. Oh, the economy imploded. We'll have a new central bank of the Americas. Oh, the euro.
The dollar's gone, so we'll have an Amero.
And if you go back, exactly, George, you go back to the 1974 founding public documents of the Trilateral Commission put out by Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter, and David Rockefeller. They said, we're going to create a euro by 2000. It is going to dominate the dollar. We're going to suppress the dollar. Then we're going to say in a few years, the answer is an Amero. That's more than 30 years old. That's what's so frustrating to me, George.
They have the plan.
They have the plan. We have their plan. And just now, as the jaws are closing on the people, they're just now starting to realize that this is real, this is happening, and now the enemy's just come out of the gates. CFR, who openly calls for the abolition of national sovereignty, comes on C-SPAN and admits it. They have articles in the paper admitting it. And then simultaneously, though, when we criticize it, they then say we're nuts and say it doesn't exist.
Dangerous people, Alex. And they play dangerous games.
But the good news is, people are waking up to what they're doing. I cannot stress that enough. You know, if you go to the Google top 100 videos, and that top 100 channel is like cable TV. It's got that many viewers, you know, millions and millions, you know, per video a day. Mm-hmm. And you look at all the top videos. It's America, Freedom to Fascism. It's Endgame. It's Loose Change, Second Edition. It's the Money Masters. It's literally the top 10, 15 videos. And it wasn't like this just a year ago. It's all Patriot material. It's all...
The only way they are going to be able to make it work is to trick us. They are not going to be able to get us to do it coming in the door like they thought they could 30 years ago.
That's right. They've got the muscle to get away with it if most of us acquiesce.
They will create some kind of world calamity. I don't know what it is. An asteroid strike. Something they will create fear in our minds.
By the way, they've had, as you know, big international UN summits going back. They even had the Shoemakers at it, you know, who discovered Shoemaker Levy.
Oh, yeah.
And I've interviewed her. And they've had these international summits where the U.S. and Russia talk about how what a great unifying effect it would be if an asteroid hit or world government could form to defeat the asteroid.
Or, as bizarre as it sounds, you create this illusion that we're being invaded from outer space.
Well, see, and George, I know you know, and I keep saying that because for listeners that may not, I know George knows all this. First, you know, 30 years ago, people thought Iron Mountain wasn't real, that leaked report. Now we know if it wasn't real, somebody who had a real report basically rewrote it so they could release it and not violate national security. Now it's been declassified, and it's come out that there's a lot of secret programs that are now public. Race-specific bioweapons to kill certain races. We can talk about that next hour. But also that they do have, and they even have deployed in some of the third world countries they've invaded, like Panama, and also in the first and second Iraq invasion, 500-foot holograms of Allah, 500-foot holograms in the sky of Mary. And yes, they do have fake alien
Perfect
invasion.
Example. Abu Dhabi, there was just a summit last week. Prince Charles shows up via hologram. A Prince Charles, there he is, talking to everybody. He didn't want to go. He thought it would cost too much money. That would be too much of an ecological waste.
See, that's the propaganda. Oh, they're giving up flying, the carbon footprint.
But there he is as a hologram in front of this massive audience.
Execute order number 66.
They can do this technologically. They will put up holograms in the sky. And people will look at them, and they'll look real.
Well, that's what it's all about. I mean, when you get into all of the chicanery and staged events with NASA, and I'm not, you know, debating that or getting off into it, it's just certainly clear that they have, and I do believe there's a huge space program. I do believe we went to the moon. The point is...
Thank God.
Thank God. Well, you know why? I know if you... You know, this is Texas. And I have a really good friend who was in Air Force Intelligence. You know, he's retired now and older. He's an electrical engineer. And he was on... I've seen a film of him in the main control unit at NASA.
Sure.
He says they went to NASA Well, if, he said they went to the moon, but when we get back, if you want, I can tell you why people think they're staged photos.
Okay. All right, we'll do that.
We're now getting off into the wild blue yonder.
We'll be back with Alex Jones. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Ah, Alex Jones, finally, someone who's an expert in conspiracies, believes we went to the moon. You're a rarity, Alex.
Now, this is one I got from a top-level NASA engineer who all of us have seen on television there in the main mission control many times. I'm not going to say his name. But he told me that they couldn't show, even at that time, all the technologies that they had. That's all he'd say. I asked him about the fake photographs where they show the hash marks, you know, the distance grids where it'll be behind a rock or anomalies. And he just said, well, I'm violating national security, and I've known him for over a decade, but he said, I'll just tell you this. They faked photos because of the radiation in the Van Allen radiation belt. They couldn't get film, you know, there and back. So they did fake photos for PR, for the public, and dress up a bunch of stuff. And I'm not going to say where I got this info, but let's just say from another source. They also had missions where astronauts died. And so this, you know, the first one that worked, that was back when they had real cowboys, real, you know, former test pilots and people that were willing to die. And the Russians also had a mission. People died. And so that's the bottom line. They couldn't have, you know, real live missions until they'd done it a few times because people were dying. And today they just say they can't deal with the PR of sending people there who would die.
Interesting. Fascinating, Alex. All right. You call this the control grid. What is that?
Okay. We hear now that, oh, all right, there is a national security agency. Remember 15 years ago the media would say, oh, it doesn't exist, you're a conspiracy theorist. But in the last 10 years they've admitted, okay, the NSA's real, but they only listen to Al-Qaeda when bin Laden's calling his mommy or when bin Laden's, you know, calling one of his terrorists to attack us with Al-Qaeda. We listen to foreign phone calls. That's okay, isn't it? And now it's come out and they've admitted that that's not true. They're using it just in terror-related crime. And I remember back in 1996, so much of what the media says is classified isn't really, because even if it's classified at the government level, when they put the infrastructure in, it is there's a trail. It's funded. Announcements are made. And in 1996, with the Telecommunications Act, amongst thousands of things that happened in it, and deregulation and a lot of other things, they were first going to pay $9 billion, then it turned out to be even more than that over time, to put in hubs, whereas in the past, the NSA would tap into lines, tap into trunks. They put in NSA offices in every major phone company hub where whole floors are the National Security Agency. Now, I've been saying that for 10 years because it was in the federal funding. It was public. They paid them to do this. Now, last year, it comes out that one of the high-level people at AT&T out in San Francisco said, look, a whole floor here is the NSA. Forget that they tap in. The NSA is in the building. And so that's now declassified. So a few of the things that are going on is the Telecommunications Act of 96 paid all the telecom giants $9 billion to install NSA snooping hubs throughout the infrastructure. And also, they are pushing, of course, RFID adoption, the Pentagon and Walmart together.
And how would they use that? In what application?
Walmart, in 2000, with the Defense Department, they had a partnership similar to the 86 partnership that forced the universal adoption of the universal product code, or the barcode. In 2000, USA Today reported that they'd gotten together with other major retailers and major purchasers like the Pentagon to demand that by 2004, by the way, they're behind schedule, all products have to have the tiny tracker chip, the radio frequency identification device in it, and already tens of thousands of products have that. What are they going to do with this? Well, the Pentagon, MIT openly have announced at big RFID conferences, one in Chicago and others, it's all in their public minutes, that just like Google or Yahoo can track everything in live time in cyberspace, they want to have a radio chip in every product, every car, every soup can, every razor, every tire, to where they have a record of who purchased it, what they did with it, and then tracking it from the factory to the store, to the home, and then eventually to the swap meet or even to the landfill. landfill. With that, in real time, with all these radio frequency identification device readers being put up in the name of toll roads, they admit that it will have dual use to then read those, and then in live time, they can then not just track cyberspace, but literally track all of the inanimate objects and people moving throughout society. Also in the 1996 Telecommunications Act, they stated by October 1st, 2001, all cell phones had to be GPS triangulated off the cell towers.
Even if it wasn't turned on.
Even if it wasn't turned on. And we would talk about that then, reading the Telecommunications Act on air. They would say it was a conspiracy theory. Now, everybody knows about it. Parents track their kids with it. But what they don't tell you is FEMA, starting in 98, under the guise of Y2K, which they fear-mongered on, and which the Navy, you know, put out the reports of 56 cities going down and all this, the government started that, but really, it's now come out, that was the cover, to put in emergency management centers in every major city, and then in rural areas, every 4 to 5 county area, they built these command bunkers, and then they tell the police, oh, it's just to track traffic, and they integrate them with the feds, they put CIA officers over every major city, that's now come out, and they can then tell them about upgrades, about, oh, now the cameras scan everybody's license plate. Oh, now the cameras have microphones. You can listen to people. And so every few months, it's a new upgrade. They bring the local emergency managers in under federal control and introduce them. And then 5 years ago, up in Wisconsin, and now it's gone nationwide, they announced, oh, guess what? Now the cops can just type into their computer at these emergency management centers and pull up where you are with your cell phone by name, just by typing your name and number in that they have in a grid, and then they're following us all in real time. Most cities haven't unveiled this yet to the police. But emergency managers everywhere are freaking out, going, oh, my gosh. So they bring them into a compartmentalized system with computers. First, it's for traffic, and then every few months, they keep upgrading and upgrading and upgrading. And really, this is a federal grid, but by 2000, it was globally standardized. Here's an example.
By the way, I lent my car to someone in St. Louis about 6 months ago, and on my last trip in, I had five camera tickets waiting for me. Five. And you can protest it, but you have to have the driver's license of the other person and all that. And
it's a big hassle.
Just went ballistic. It is. It's a huge hassle.
And they were also caught in San Diego.
And it's not a point thing, but it's a ticket, and it's $100 a piece.
They were caught in San Diego, and of course, the Lockheed Martin was running this, a defense contractor. They were caught shortening, this was in the San Diego paper, shortening the yellow lights to get more money, and it was causing more accidents. So this is all about profit. This is not about safety.
Money. It's all about money.
So there's this entire giant grid that they're putting into place. And there's so many other facets to it, George.
Hey, it's like the self-help checkout at a supermarket. They don't have to hire a cashier. And cities don't have to have patrol officers or traffic cops. They can have these cameras doing the job.
Exactly. Let me give people briefly the history of the National ID card. We're all hearing now about the Real ID Act, and this year they become federal IDs. You've got to have it to go on a plane or a train or a bus. You've got to have it, they're saying, to go on national parks. They're threatening the state, saying that you've got to accept it, and it's for illegal immigrants to keep it
safe.
Or
you're not going to be able to have your people get on planes without this proper ID.
Exactly. My first film, America Destroyed by Design, goes off the executive orders, the federal documents. So let me just, in a nutshell, typical what's really happening. In 1993, under executive order, Bill Clinton said if the states want any of their highway funds, they must integrate a strip, a digital photo for face scan, and a thumbprint. By 1997, all 50 states had that in place. In 2000, the United Nations had a summit in Australia, and they set world standards and agreed to treaties for world ID numbers. So by 2000, we had world ID cards, but everybody thought they were just driver's license or ID cards. They were already standardized. Then in 2005, they passed the Real ID Act to make it law, but we already had national ID cards, which are really global ID cards.
How many states have you lived in your career?
I have traveled all over the world, but I've only lived in Texas.
Okay. I've lived in Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, California. I'm a Missouri resident. on the face of it, a national ID card, a national driver's license, sounds pretty good.
But it's all selectively enforced. The illegal aliens, the banks, the corporations, the companies don't ask for their IDs. I've seen illegals getting bank accounts. When I show three forms of ID, they don't. It's come out in the news where the banks have said they're giving home loans and car loans to illegals without IDs. They can go to a consulate and get a consulate matricula.
Well,
and
that's so crazy.
And so they sell it, making it sound reasonable, like it's for the illegal aliens, but it isn't for the illegal aliens.
Again, all for this one world government.
Well, they state in the SPP, North American Union documents, that they're going to adopt, and they've already you've heard about them paying Social Security to illegals in Mexico?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Crazy.
They're already integrating it, so this national ID card is really a North American Union ID card, and guess what? Remember Corsi and others reporting for Human Events last year, we're talking about how everybody in Texas and other states got these North American Union tax ID numbers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Guess what I got a month ago in the mail at my house?
You got one.
Yeah, I've got 12 employees. And it came in the mail. My wife says, hey, honey, I spent half my time just doing business paperwork. And I start reading it, and it says, you no longer have a Texas Workforce Commission ID number that we give to the Federal Department of Labor. You now have a North American ID as part of our North American integration.
No way.
It's on PrisonPlanet.com.
And you got it.
Yeah, we scanned it in. We put it on PrisonPlanet.com. Amazing. So it's not just your show that I heard Corsi on talking about it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Fantastic.
That is one of the most bizarre things. It's like the Illuminati took over the airwaves for a moment.
I remember that time Art Bell was talking about some classified stuff on air, and the satellite really cut out. Because I talked to you guys, and he said that it really happened.
Okay, anyways, back. Back to the Illuminati. Look,
Illuminati,
you think you can take over this show, you're not going to be able to. We got you. We beat you. And our engineers figured out what you tried to do to us. And it's not going to happen.
Man, that was bizarre. But the thing I was saying is that on PrisonPlanet.com.
And what an accent. They will take you.
This will be a global system, you little. This will be beautiful audio.
But
you didn't have some tape recorder down there, Alex, playing a game on me, did you?
It's me. It's my fault. I sabotaged us. But earlier you mentioned, I mean, this was in the Sacramento Bee. You live in California part of the time. You brought it up. That's one of the things I brought in tonight, was they just announced calmly, oh, hey, guess what? We're going to, with radio transmitters by state law, by the way, the UN proposed this years ago, we're going to remote control and control your thermostat and decide if it's too cool or too hot in your house. This is the total nanny state. But remember what happened three Super Bowls ago when Janet Jackson had the
yes,
wardrobe malfunction.
The misfortune of that popping off.
Yes, during the halftime. And then TiVo came out, one of the most popular DVRs to, you know, save your programs, play them in real time, pause them. And they said, guess what? We had a record, 2.3 million rewinds and replays in the 10 minutes after that. And the Chicago Tribune pointed out what I've been pointing out for years, and I'm not tooting my horn, I'm saying I don't make this stuff up. I was reading it in the industry publications that it was two-way and that they're monitoring everything you watch. They're tracking everything you do. And when you go to be a cop or you go to get a government job or a corporate job, they give you that famous psychological 600-question test that supposedly gets your psychological score and what type of person you are. But imagine the thousands of choices you make a month watching television, watching a digital cable, and it's two-way. All those systems are. I saw this 10 years ago. This just came out in mainstream news. The last three, they are then taking all that psychological data, they're using that, and they have an incredibly detailed background on everything you do. Then, 2 years ago, Google came out, their stock went up, and they announced, guess what? This is Google's press release. They said, we are going to not just track everything you do online and create psychological algorithms and databases and assessments on you and sell them to Lord knows who. We are have now developed a system that uses the built-in microphone that's on 90%+ of the computers and the built-in cameras that are on all the new computers, and we're going to watch and listen to everything you do. If there's a dog barking in the background, you're going to see ads for dog food pop up on your screen. We're going to listen to what you're watching on TV for data. Now, imagine if somebody came to your door and knocked on it and said, hey, Mr. Norrie, mm-hmm. or hey, Mr. Danheiser, or hey, Mr. Jones, I'll pay you $100 a week to put a camera and microphone in your house, and I'm going to listen to everything you do, and AI computers are then going to create text of all that are then scanned by these AI systems to figure out what to sell and what to do in your demographic. You would say, get the you-know-what off
well,
my
I
porch.
Would, but if I was a marketeer, I'd think it was a genius idea.
Exactly, but they know how to give us things we're comfortable with. They know how to integrate it into our life, like our cell phone tracking everywhere we go. They can not just track where you go, as you know, George. Remember when Air Force One a couple years ago was going for a holiday visit to the troops, and Bush made everybody, all the press corps, take their phones out, and they put the batteries in one bag
right,
and the phones
right,
in another
right.
because
they collected them all.
Because they knew intelligence agencies everywhere could dial into those because of the back doors built in by federal law, 1996 Telecommunications Act, to listen to everything you're doing. You know, these satellite, self-help systems where they help you get out of your car or whatever. It's come out, the FBI's been using that. My only point here is this is all being integrated into things we trust and are everyday items around us, and this makes George Orwell's 1984 looked like a cakewalk. I mean, take the schools. Every day I see an article about cameras in school bathrooms, face scanning cameras, cameras tracking what the kids are doing. The feds pay the states to have the children write their exams and papers for English into a computer to, quote, check for plagiarism. Then it came out, and I predicted it wasn't hard, 2 + 2 = 4, that the feds were actually scanning that for background data on files on the kids. See, it sounds like, oh, it's a plagiarism program. All the kids have a computer in school now. It's to make sure you're not plagiarizing. But it's dual use. They're also putting it in a federal file. Here's another example, and I've had state reps, federal reps on from Congress on this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're 34 years old or younger and were born in a hospital, every person in America, New Zealand, Australia, England, and Canada, they all follow the same program. Starting 34 years ago, they take 3 ampules of blood from the baby at birth. Now, they tell you it's for the health department to screen for blood diseases. Well, why couldn't the hospital do that? And it's true, the health department does screen for the blood diseases, but then one of them goes to a state database, and then the other goes to a federal, one of 4 federal databases in Virginia, California, Michigan, and Texas. So everyone in America born in a hospital, you are in an international DNA data bank. They can take that blood and frame you whenever they want. Now that they're going to get your fingerprints if you want to be a school teacher or if you want to be a real estate agent as they're passing all over the country. They can then frame you with those and plant your prints wherever they want. They can create genetically engineered special bioweapons for you individually, designer bioweapon. I mean, George, think about, and I could go on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other points where they're putting this grid in place, and I just want to warn people, and that's why I've made Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement, because, and I hope we can get into that after the break, because we walk through it. I know I sent you a copy. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
Yes, I did, and I want to ask you, when we do come back from the break, the biggest fear that's out there, and that is to reduce this world population. And I know you addressed that, Alex, so let's talk about that when we come back, okay?
Absolutely, George.
Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. 10 years ago, you might have laughed at him. Not anymore. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Alex, one of the most frightening aspects of all of this is the population control. Reducing the world's population down from 6+ billion... to what I've always heard, 500 million people on the entire planet.
That's right. And George, I didn't even ask you this during the break, so you did have a chance to watch Endgame?
Parts of it, not the whole thing yet.
Yeah, it's 2 hours, 20 minutes long, but what did you think of what you saw?
Well, you did a phenomenal job with it, as usual.
Well, what we did in Endgame, to answer your question, is first off, we show the history of the New World Order, who they are, the central banks, how they took over Europe 200-plus years ago. Then we move into the European Union, how that was set up by Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, his full name, Prince of Lippe-Besterfield, born HSH Court, Count Bernhard Leopold Frederick Eberhard Julius Kurt Karl Gotterfield Peter of Lippe-Besterfield. So now that's the full name. That's his full German royalty, just like the British are. Sure. He was an SS officer. He set this up. Of course, the later head was Prince Philip of the Netherlands. He also started the World Wildlife Fund, which is, he was a eugenicist. And once they get you worried about the animals, which is a real concern, then they can sell you that human beings are bad. And so going back to the eugenicist, we then covered in Endgame how the social Darwinist in the 1860s created social workers, created the nanny state because they wanted to, quote, keep the poor from breeding, and they wanted to sterilize the poor, and they wanted to breed the elite to look better, live longer, be smarter. And then they then talked about how the middle class was a threat to the elite, so they needed to poison them through the water. They needed to give them diet injections and injunctions, is a quote by the Nobel Prize winner, one of them who was pushing all of this, Bertrand Russell, and it's all in the film. So going back at least 100 years ago, we all hear about how Hitler wanted to set up this world Germanic state and how he wanted to, in an orderly fashion, exterminate all of the black people. He wanted to then exterminate the majority of the Asians except for the Japanese. He wanted to exterminate the majority of the Slavs or the Mongol races, as he called them. Well, if you go back and research, it was the Rockefellers family that literally funded the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute that pushed all this in Germany. He learned this from the British and the U.S. robber barons, and this was the big, hot new idea. They hired Margaret Sanger to set up the Birth Control League, and then it became Planned Parenthood. And all of these organizations, all the modern sciences, 30-plus states in the U.S. passed sterilization laws. All of this was going on. Hitler was a big rock star in the newsreels and on radio, and he was a good guy in the U.S. until at least the late 1930s.
As Saddam was.
As Saddam was. So we hear about how Hitler wanted to exterminate all these people. He just picked up the ideas of American and British eugenicists. And so when you realize that David Rockefeller funds over 100 different eugenics organizations, when you realize that these old guys who were the sons of the people that set all this up still believe in all of this, and the reason we get the number 500 million is Prince Philip writes in, if I was an animal, in the foreword to that book, and he told Reuters and he told Deutsche Press in the 80s, I'd like to come back as a deadly virus to kill 80% of the population.
And he was dead serious, wasn't he?
Yes, Jacques Cousteau said the same thing in a French TV interview. We have Ted Turner saying we need to kill 95% of the useless eaters in Autobahn magazine in 1993, and I didn't just believe these quotes on the internet. I went to the library.
Useless eaters.
I went and got the actual reports. And then I got the United Nations Biological Diversity Assessments, three separate ones put into official UN policy, say that they want to set up a world government to enforce a one-child policy, to have a police state to enforce that one-child policy, and that they then want to foment wars, famine, play African nations, Latin American nations, Asian nations off against each other. We have classified documents from the British and the Australian governments where they were tainting rice with sterilization.
In China, after your first child, I believe they sterilized the woman. Is that true?
That's right. And in 1975, when George Herbert Walker Bush was the ambassador to China, they sent him over. They signed a deal. This is all in the film. This is admitted. For China to enforce the one-child policy. It started, you're hearing this proposed here now, on a tax on more than one child. Then in 81, it became law. Now if you have more than one child, they will sterilize you. In some cases, they will drown the baby in front of you. This is all mainstream news. So they adopted the eugenics plan under State Department Memorandum 200 by Henry Kissinger, which itself is a regurgitation of the Royal Commission on Population. Prince Bernhard's cousin, the King of England, funded that. And so out of the Royal Commission on Population, 44 to 49, this study, it states, and you can go read it. It's online. Just type the Royal Commission on Population. It even has the seals. It's scanned in. It's on major university sites. This is the blueprint. for then State Department Memorandum 200, and it says, we will pay China, we will pay Brazil, we will pay all these third world countries billions of dollars a year in IMF and World Bank loans that they don't have to pay back if they can reduce their population growth by 50% with one-child policies. Only China adopted it, but Peru sterilized half their women. Native American reservations, the U.S. government in the 70s, in one program sterilized 42% of them. So this is a massive underground program. We have the documents where they had proven by the 30s that sodium and stannous fluoride would lower sperm counts, rots holes in the brains, on average a 20% IQ reduction when children drink it. They used it in the death camps to pacify the people. That's in Pulitzer Prize winning books and declassified Nuremberg documents. The Soviets then adopted. The U.S. by the early 50s then adopted it. It's all part of a eugenics program. Now Reuters and even Scientific American admit all the scientific studies about lowering IQ, rotting holes in your brain, and the American Medical Association in 2005 and the American Dental Association admitted now that it actually rots holes in your teeth with fluorosis and causes all these problems and don't even recommend it anymore.
Unbelievable.
So see, now all this is coming out. The government isn't putting this in your water. I remember San Antonio. It started 10 years ago, wouldn't fluoridate their water. The federal government spent more than $20 million in billboards, TV ads, lobbying to get it fluoridated. They just fluoridated Los Angeles last year.
Yes, they did.
So now it's over 70% of the country that's fluoridating.
And it's a poison.
It is an absolute poison that literally lowers sex drive, lowers testosterone, destroys sperm count. Do you think that cities with fluoridated water have 80%+ sperm count drops for nothing? Again, this is a sterilization eugenics weapon, and it's all in the documents. It's all mainstream. This is not a conspiracy.
I would have thought you were nuts, Alex. I would have thought you were nuts, but not anymore.
Well, that's why. Well, thank you, George. That's why Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement is so important, and that's why I'm begging people to go to Amazon.com and get it, to go to PrisonPlanet.com and get it, to go to InfoWars.com and get it. And when you get the DVD, it's copyright-free for nonprofit educational purposes. You can't get it and sell it because I'd lose the copyright, and I have to hold that because I'm a distributor. But you can make copies. I want you to for nonprofit educational purposes. You want to see it in the crisp, high-quality DVD. But if you can't afford it, Google Video. It is absolutely free. Cost me $150,000 to make. Flying to Istanbul, flying to Canada, getting arrested, getting detained. Because we, how could I just not have it free if I know this? I just want you to see Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement. And, George, I want to get down and kiss your feet because you have 16 million listeners. Bill O'Reilly's got 3 million and is totally arrogant. And you're letting me come on air. And you broke the ice with mainstream dominant media almost 5 years ago when you first had me on, and you've opened the door for so many people, and I can't help it. I have to come on air and thank you because you're helping us save lives by warning people. And even if you don't drink fluoridated water, you absorb it through your skin. Every major processed food is filled with it. Have you noticed they have it in children's water, and it says for kids? I mean, ladies,
makes it sound like soda pop.
Well, the people at these companies don't even know. They're just told this is a good thing to do. They're just told this is a, you know. Again, they count on us not knowing the truth. And over $70 billion has now been given by one of the biggest tax-free foundations out there to carry out population reduction programs. The man who gave this money, his father is the former head of Planned Parenthood. He's on the board of directors. His name is Bill Gates. It's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And that was founded. That was founded by, of course, Margaret Sanger, who gave awards to Hitler, got awards from Hitler. I'm not even going to say Bill Gates is a bad man. I'm not going to say his father's a bad man. I'm going to state the facts. The woman...
$65 billion or million?
No. It's over 70-plus billion now that has been given. They gave $31 billion total, and Warren Buffett gave $39 billion.
My Gosh, they make a lot of money.
Well, also, it's tax-free. You see, the robber barons in 1906 actually engineered the Antitrust Act.
It's a deduction?
Because all their money then went underground. They just broke Standard Oil in 12 parts. But I also discovered that Microsoft is a front company. And, folks, this is stuff nobody's ever heard. And this is in the film, Endgame. International Business Machines, Thomas Watson.
IBM.
Yes, is photographed with Adolf Hitler. He gave awards to Hitler, got awards from Hitler, was given, you know, the highest civilian award. The founder of IBM was a top eugenicist. He invented the first real computers for race mixing studies between blacks and whites in the United States. The first punch card system. I mean, this is, have you read the book by Mr. Black about IBM and the Holocaust?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
Very scholarly. It gets into all of that, okay? So we read more than 30 books just to make this film. That was one of them. You know, talked to him, interviewed him, consulted him on it. They create this. Hitler, the ID numbers on the Jews and others in the camps, that was an IBM number entered into the machine. They would take your weight, your age, and they would enter into it, and the machine would decide if you should be killed or how long you should be worked, how much fluoride you should be given.
No way.
No, I'm not kidding. And by the way, they're behind the national ID card now. So it was born during the trust busting in 1906. So they were always skilled at trust busting, and their company model was to beat trust. And so in the 1980s, late 1970s, we always hear they screwed up and gave Bill Gates the operating system. No, Bill Gates was basically a subsidiary of IBM to get around antitrust laws. And so then you see him, his dad, the head of Planned Parenthood, and on its board today, you know, this top population control guy. You then see, as soon as Gates goes tax-free, he gives $30+ billion of a $60 billion fortune of his and his wife to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Then Warren Buffett comes in and gives almost $40 billion into it. And then I've got all these video clips, you can find them online, of him on television, on Bill Moyers, saying he believes in population control. He believes in all this. Now,
well, let me ask you this, on the face of it. Do you believe in population control to slow down the growth?
Well, here's the thing, George. Yes.
It's a catch-22, isn't it?
It's a catch-22, but the elite love this idea because then it gives them the authorization to say human life is cheap and to do horrible things and to so what if people die, it's for the greater good. And once you do that, you go to hell in a handbasket. And here's the key. The Royal Commission on Population, it's the blueprint for all of this in the modern age. You know, it has roots before that going back to the 1840s and 50s. States that this global eugenics program is not about helping the environment. They say we're going to sell it along those lines. The Club of Rome says that as well. They say in there, and this is so key, so everybody listen to me very carefully. They say that the third world is going to industrialize. The third world is going to make their own machines, their own factories, and not be under our central bank control. They said our global domination of the Anglo-American Empire merged with the U.S. is threatened by them, so we have to go in and make sure they don't industrialize, get them in debt, carry out these programs so that they don't industrialize, and they go on to say if they industrialize, their population growth will slow or go negative. Like Japan has 1.2, Europe 1.4, the U.S. is 2.2, but we have a huge immigrant population.
Right.
For two people in America, we only have two kids. In Europe, they're dying. You know, the death of the West, as Pat Buchanan's written.
It's negative.
Because they're having, it's like 1.4 in Europe.
Yeah.
Some countries are lower, but the average is 1.4. So they're keeping these nations from industrializing, and then the global elite actually caused the world population since the 40s to go from 3.5 billion to 6.5 billion, and now it's going to top out at about 8 billion and then go down. Once you industrialize, people stop having as many children. It is a fact of human dynamics and how we operate. So they don't really, they are the ones that have actually precipitated the global population explosion and this whole eugenics. See, they teach in the textbooks that eugenics is positive eugenics and negative eugenics, the two arms of it. Positive is the elite breeding together to make smarter, more intelligent, better looking, longer lived people. Now, the negative eugenics is sterilizing, killing babies at birth, getting rid of people, controlling. But when you get into real eugenics textbooks, higher level, PhD and above,
right.
It's waging war on the middle class, poisoning us, dumbing us down, sterilizing us, because they say that we're not intelligent, but we're rogue, and together we can beat them and keep them from having their world monopoly, quote, for the greater good utopia. So real eugenics is actually dumbing people down, poisoning them, and causing mass breeding so that people live in squalor.
And it's going on now. It's going on now.
You have a global elite that believe they are God. Social Darwinism, that it's their right to rule, that because they got in positions of power, that in the survival of the fittest, it is their right to dominate and kill everyone and control everybody and dominate and enslave. And that's their basic idea. And so everything they do then is based on that. This is the ultimate control freak. And from a cold-blooded, you know, Borg-type position, they're basically taking a page out of the Old Testament where they would go in and just exterminate whole groups of, you know, people, as God told the Israelites. They are saying the ultimate form of domination is just like the Romans would do at Carthage, because Hannibal resisted them. They just killed everybody and salted the earth. They say that they call it the ultimate revolution, the final revolution. They call it a scientific dictatorship, where they are going to cold-bloodedly use the sciences of psychology, sociology, drugs, chemicals to come in, to change our language, to dumb us down.
Without us knowing about it.
Yes, incrementally. And then once this is in place, then they can have the orderly extermination. As they launch bioattacks that get worse and worse and more extreme each time, they'll herd us into more and more compact cities, always posing as the saviors, fighting shadowy, you know, terrorist groups. Some exist, they're funding, don't even know it. Others that the black ops are carrying out. Then as more and more of us die, we get more and more control in kind of a THX-1138 Brave New World type system, until they call us down to 500 million. Now, can they do it? Will they be able to carry it out? I don't know. The point is, they've got the high ground. They've got control of the currency. They issue the credit and liquidity. They're moving forward with this plan. What you're hearing is the ultimate secret. I've reverse engineered it. I've got all their documents. This is the plan. This is the plan. This is the blueprint. This is their entire driving mode. World government is a means to an end. World government is the means towards a total dictatorship, where they will then exterminate the majority of humanity, keep the life extension technologies for themselves. They will then arrogantly keep the fruits of the next level of human development for themselves. It is the ultimate in selfishness,
which they'll control. Stay with us. Alex Jones is next. And now, we'll open up the phone lines. And welcome back. We're here with Alex Jones. We're going to take phone calls as well. Alex, before we get to the calls, anything else you need to say right now?
Well, it's just, I was looking over Tom's shoulder here as he was chatting with Sean. And, you know, they were saying, hey, man, this is really scary, depressing stuff.
Webmaster Sean, yeah.
And, you know, it is, but it's also empowering to now know it's going on and that it's happening. And I want listeners to know I'm not making this up, but at the same time, I don't want you to believe me. I want you to find out I'm telling the truth. If people go to whatistheendgame.com or endgamethemovie.com, there's a bibliography for the whole film right there, the entire time code, every second of the film, every document, every article, every video clip we show you, every second of the film is documented at endgamethemovie.com, where as you watch the film, you can go through all the materials that we present there. And it's kind of like walking through a field at night where there are a bunch of ravines you can fall into. And somebody says, well, you told me about the ravines. That's scary and depressing. But it's not really, because now you know that there are some pits out there, and you better have a flashlight if you're going to be out there. So I'm sorry this is the way reality really is, but if you look at Nero marrying his horse and killing all those people in Rome, or Caligula, or you look at the Aztecs, what they did in their society, sacrificing tens of thousands every year, or you look at just all of these cultures where these psychopathic sickos get in control, they get in positions of power, nobody can stop them. So why did Stalin kill 60 million? Why did Mao kill 60 million? Why did our government put Mao into power? That's now declassified. Why did our government, the British government, help put Hitler in power? Lord Milner Group, from that was Lord Milner's roundtable group that set up our CFR in the 20s, said we're going to set up a dictator in Germany and then have him destroy all of Europe, then we'll bring him down. They are masters. Max Warburg, at the end of World War I, was heading up the German economy. His brother was heading up the U.S. Federal Reserve, while Germany and was supposedly at war with the U.S., Russia, England, and France. Mr. Warburg was financing the U.S. to send $25 million of gold and 250 Bolsheviks from Brooklyn, New York, to Russia to bring down the czars. So, see, the Illuminati, the New World Order, isn't in any one group. They play different masses.
At any given time. They change, don't they?
Exactly. They are master puppeteers. And if people don't have internet to go order Endgame at InfoWars.com, I hope that they will call the toll-free number to get Endgame or Terror Storm. And that number, because people are, I'm told, calling in asking about it, is 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139.
To the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with Alex Jones. Hi there.
Hi, gentlemen. Blessings. This is Stephanie in Miami. It's good
to
talk
Stephanie.
To you.
Thanks for calling.
I have a question for Alex, please. I'm concerned about the vaccine for the human Pamplona virus given to young girls.
That's a story we were just talking about earlier today, wasn't it, Alex?
Yeah, I only brought in four or five stories, and me and George, right before the show started, were talking about this. And do you know what this is? This is the Daily Mail out of England, posted for posterity at jonesreport.com. And it says, alert over jabs for girls as two die following cervical cancer vaccination. Ma'am, do you have anything else to ask, or do you want me to answer the question?
Yes, why did you
bring this up, Stephanie? Go ahead.
I brought it up because I noticed, I have a little bit of journalism background, I noticed that it's transmitted through the male to the female, but the males are not getting inoculated. So it seems like it's targeting the girls, and it could possibly promote sterility.
Okay. I don't want you, because this is a medical issue, I do not want you to believe me there in Miami.
Okay.
This is key. I want you to write notes. Do you have a pen and paper? This is going to save a lot of young women right now.
Okay.
We're going to save a lot of lives. This is what I want the good karma. That's what I'm into.
Right.
Okay. Write this down.
Okay.
Gardasil is put out
Spell
by G-A-R-D-A-S-I-L.
Mm-hmm.
Gardasil is put out by Merck Pharmaceutical, who just had to recall a bunch of their vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
They're the people that put out Vioxx for arthritis, that maybe all those people have those heart attacks, okay?
Right.
Now, let me tell you exactly what happened. They found in clinical trials 3 years ago that it was causing incredible autoimmune reactions and deaths.
Mm-hmm.
This has actually come out in the industry papers. Everything I say is documented, okay? Everything I'm telling you is documented. Believe me, I wouldn't be here. I'd be sued out of oblivion. Anything I said wasn't true and backed up by 10 other sources. They knew it was causing problems. They knew they had a bad drug on their hand. So what did they do? They went to Rick Perry here in Texas, the governor, and they knew that if they got the governor to approve this vaccine, that federal law would then kick in with the vaccine damage fund that's over $4 billion, and the government quietly pays these off. And then any problems with this in the future, the government would handle, and they wouldn't have any liability. So they didn't just kill some billion-dollar drug they developed, some live cancer virus vaccine. It's the new generation of live viruses. What did Gardasil do? They cold-bloodedly went out, and they went to the governor of Texas, and they financed and gave campaign contributions to both parties, spent tens of millions in the state. They went and they got the governor to come out and say, it's the law, you got to take it. But wait, look into this. There is no law, you have to take shots. What he said was, is that I'm making it the list of recommended to the state health department. Then the schools tell you if you want to go to school, you have to have it. And then they never tell you they have a waiver by law they're supposed to give you. Now, let's talk medically about what Gardasil does. Have you seen the TV ads for it?
Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, she's gone?
No, she's listening. But go
ma'am,
ahead.
Have you seen the TV ads for Gardasil? At the end of it, they will admit that it is thought that it might protect you. It protects you from six strains of the human papillomavirus that over half the population, by the way, who's been sexually active, has. It says it might. It protects you maybe from six strains. There are over 350 active strains of it. And if you already have the virus, and they don't test you for this, you get a 45% increase in cancer from the virus if you take this.
Now, you're saying, though, if these two girls didn't get this vaccine, they would have been alive today.
Well, that's what the Daily Mail out of England, because they just approved this this month.
Yeah.
And they've had masses of deaths, dozens and dozens and dozens. It was over 100 last time I checked. They just approved this January 1st, 2007 in the U.S. They approved it January 1st in England, 2008. Okay, so it's now the 26th, and it says a jab that could be given to hundreds of thousands of schoolgirls this autumn was at the center of a safety scare last night following the deaths of two young women. European regulators are investigating the sudden and unexplained deaths of women who received Gardasil, one of the two jabs to protect against cervical cancer, licensed for use in the UK.
Does it say how they died? I mean, what happened? What were their symptoms? Does it get into that at all?
Yes. Well, we know how the people die that get it. Now, most of the time, it when you get sick, it doesn't kill you. You have huge autoimmune responses. You break out in bloody whelps all over your body. Sure. Blood starts coming out of your orifices, and it kind of acts like Ebola.
So they died over what period of time? Do we know from?
They died over a period of 2 days.
2 days?
Yes. I'd have to read this whole article here on air to get into what happened with them. I know about the U.S. deaths. So all I'm saying here is this. But don't believe me, ma'am. Type Gardasil into Google or into Yahoo. Go to their website, and it will say in there that it's not proven to even protect you, and it covers six strains. Now, it gets worse. Type any of the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, Luvox, Prozac in. We made them add this. Europe had it 5 years ago. Just last year they added it. The first thing it says on all these Prozac class, fluoride class drugs, it's what they're made up out of, their molecule. It says increases suicide, violent actions, psychotic breaks, violent acting out. That's an oxymoron. It's an antidepressant that massively increases suicide. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm reading from their own inserts. So we just took one call and I took 10 minutes. I'm sorry, but it's so important.
It is. It's a big story. What can people do if they're concerned about this?
Not believe me. Because I don't want it to be a rumor. You tell somebody you heard from Alex on, you know, Coast to Coast this. I want you to just go read that Gardasil doesn't even protect you and that it's killed a bunch of people and that they have accelerated autoimmune deaths.
Are there any doctors out there, Alex, who are saying do not take this vaccine?
Major medical associations have said, and I'm going from memory here, we'll have to Google it, but I believe the American Medical Association said to take extreme caution.
Extreme caution.
See, basically, there's a way if a governor, through emergency powers, says you have to take this or makes it recommended to go to school, that, like, automatically made approval happen.
All right.
So there's ways to get around approval laws.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Yes, this is Jeff Boyd from Chelsea, Massachusetts.
Hey, Jeff. Good. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Now, Alex, when do you think martial law is coming to America? When do you think the elite is going to drop the other shoe and completely close this country down? I believe it'll be when we have another terrorist attack in this country, whether it's from the outside or from within.
Well, that certainly could do it. The John Warner Defense Authorization Act of 2007-2008 openly states that the executive is now a dictatorship and that they have openly funded and drained the military for domestic suppression. You need to read that. Presidential Decision Directive 51 and the accompanying executive order openly states Congress is no longer over the continuity of government program, and they've had paid shills on television, admittedly, running around saying how martial law is coming and how it's a good thing. Will we have hot martial law, or will it be the cold, creeping martial law? When they're checking your bags randomly on New York subways, or have Viper federal teams, as they're called, under different federal programs in Dallas and Houston, randomly searching people in Miami, when they are putting cameras in schoolyards and face-scanning cameras up on the street corners, when they are setting up random checkpoints and federalizing our police through programs, when we have 7 million Americans in the prison system, 4 million behind bars, we are in martial law. It's what degree of it. The gun is at our head. Are they going to openly pull the trigger, or is it going to be the long slide into night?
West of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Take it away.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Joy in Enterprise, Oregon.
Hi, Joy.
You're a great host, George. And, Alex, thank you for even risking your life to keep us informed. In Oregon, I can't afford the cable TV, so I still use rabbit ears. And they're making us now to be able to get reception. We're going to have to buy an add-on box that is supposed
to be an adapter.
Digital, yeah. Well, that's for purposes of keeping track of everything we're doing.
No, that adapter is passive. It's not hooked in anything. What tracks you is a cable modem, any type of two-way cable system, delivery system, TiVo, the DVRs that are hooked into systems. That basically is like a computer tracking everything you do, but it's not like a computer where you can turn those cookies or those ports off. It all tracks everything you do.
It's going to monitor everybody. Everything will be monitored.
And if people don't believe me, it's in the Chicago Tribune. I mean, it's not. I mean, again, I talked about it. I learned about this 12 years ago because a local cable guy was at my house and he said, "Hey, I watch your show." This is about 10 years ago. You're getting one of these digital boxes. What do you think that is right there, Alex? And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "That's a microphone." He goes, "Here's the map." He goes, "There's no reason to have a microphone on the box. There's a microphone in it." He goes, "This is two way." And we're being told it's going to track, and it's for marketing and track. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And then later I talked to another engineer, not just a cable guy, and he said, oh, yeah, that's going on. And then I talked about it on air. I had people from the cable company calling me up, people who worked there going, you're a liar. Later they called up and apologized on the local TV show. But, I mean, if it's tracking you, I got to talk about it.
Absolutely. And tell us your method for researching these stories so people know you don't just sit in a laboratory somewhere and concoct these things.
Well, I mean, it just so happened she called in about Gardasil, and I had the Daily Mail, a major paper in England.
That was good synchronicity.
Yeah, synchronicity. Or if I talk about fluoride reducing IQ and brain damage and all the studies saying it, I mean, that's Reuters and New Scientist.
You research this stuff. You go out and look for sources.
Well, I mean, to explain, I learned what their blueprint was and most of their plan because of listeners, 10, 12, 13 years ago. I mean, I would have truck drivers send me, the major truck driving magazine. And it would say there's going to be RFID on the roads, NAFTA superhighways. It was kind of open.
Right.
And we're going to track everything you do.
Before any media would hear about it.
Yeah, it's all in industry publications and legislation. Here's an example. In 1998, a listener said, go to the Federal Register here, because I can't track it all myself. It's billions of documents every year, or hundreds of millions. It's got to be billions of pages. But I get an email. And it says, go here. Here's a link. I work at the Austin Police Department. We're going to be helping people install microphones. We're not even supposed to tell the other officers. And we get an $844,000 grant to put these shotgun mics that can listen to people at 200 yards. But the guy, the cop, the Austin cop, didn't just send me a link to the federal grant that Kay Bailey Hutchinson had gotten, was real proud of, to add microphones, and they've added them each year. He sent me then a link to the very company with an online demo where it showed some kid talking in the street from 200 yards with a shotgun mic. So every year since, for 10 years, they've put in hundreds of more of these expensive microphones, and now you'll be in major cities. They've even got microphones with the plush wind guards on them hanging off the cameras. And so I knew about microphones. Or here's another example. The Internet breaks up regional media. Used to it was only regional. You never hear outside your region. I read an article in Tennessee out of one of their major papers where the girls from the local basketball team, eighth grade, were taking showers after the game and saw a camera in the shower, freaked out, running and screaming. And the principal came out, and this is like 6 years ago, and said, hey, of course we have cameras in there. There could be crime. Turned out it was being fed to some digital boxes, and it was pedophile behavior, pervert behavior. But the point is that then I take a story and I go, here it is. They got cameras in the girl showers. Or then I take a Sacramento Bee article about how the police department watches all the kids with cameras in the bathrooms. But now it's openly done. So, I mean, they say it's a law. You've got to take the Gardasil vaccine. I know the state law is that there is no law. You've got to take it. The school lies and says we're going to expel you. And then once they expel you, they say it's your fault, and then criminal truancy charges kick in. They don't tell you it's state law in every state in the union that they have to give you a waiver form, but they won't tell you there's a waiver form because the federal funds for the school are tied to 98% vaccination levels.
You must just shake your head, Alex, when you hear some of these stories.
Well, I do, and I mean, here's an example. 96. Emails crawling. I was just getting on the web. I get an email. Hey, I'm a captain in the U.S. Army. I couldn't tell you about this before because a national security letter. I worked at this camp in Anniston, Alabama. We had 300 federal inmates in a secret program, exchange program, training people and building an infrastructure for camps in America. It's now been declassified. It's the civilian inmate labor camp program. Here's a link. I was at army.mil. It said we've got 12 camps. We're expanding to 24. It's now declassified. Americans have secretly been in camps since 1986 under Rex 84. So, see, my job, just like I talk about the North American Union 10 years ago when I was a kook, now it's mainstream media. All I do is take stuff that nobody else is talking about and cover it. Now, I do some original things, like I'll go to Bilderberg and we'll have our sources.
Or Bohemian Grove,
snuck in there and got footage of the ritual they were doing. Or I'll go out and show police checkpoints with the military. Or I'll show Delta Force paying off or trying to pay off the police chief in San Antonio, and I'll go interview him, and he'll say the Delta Force tried to pay him off, to help set up martial law in San Antonio, sure. And I'll put that out, in Police State 2000. Or I'll go to a Marine Corps training drill in Hebron, Maryland, or Swansboro, North Carolina, or Oakland, California, and I just show up, and the Marines walk right up and say, we're training to take over America, we're training to take the guns, and I got video of the Marines saying it with troop ships landing and hovercraft, and I put the video out, and people say I hired actors that would have cost $25 million.
We'll be back with final phone calls with Alex Jones on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Alex, let's take as many calls as we can.
Let's do it.
They're lining up. First time caller line, it's your turn. You're on the air. Hi there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Nick.
Hey, Nick, where are you calling from?
Topeka, Kansas.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I want to ask Alex. He said something about the Antichrist. When are they going to round up the Christians and have them put to death?
They don't need to. They're just going to co-opt the Christians. The Bible says that most Christians are going to worship the Antichrist because he's going to basically claim he's Jesus.
And he's going to trick them all.
Okay.
Then that was George talking about the Antichrist and tricking people. Yes.
Yeah, I know. But there's going to be some that are not going to worship this Antichrist. Obviously, they're going to be punished, right?
Well, I'll tell you, most of the real anti-terror training manuals from the FBI and the rest of it, and even Fox News last week was saying the new Al-Qaeda is secretly blonde-haired and blue-eyed, is hiding under every rock. So certainly the main apparatus is aimed at, true Christians who won't go along with the whole cashless society and implantable microchip.
And the mark of the beast, Alex, if you get into that, the 666, what could it be? What might it be?
Well, we're living in a crazy time. I 2 weeks ago, CNN reported that Mexico is going to microchip 200,000 of its illegal aliens. That's CNN video. That's a news report. The Mexican Attorney General, made a bunch of his employees and himself take a microchip 3 years ago.
Yes, that's
true. You can't make this type of stuff up. I had the Bergen County police chief from New Jersey on. They have police chiefs in the county there. And he said, if the government says we all should take chips, I'll enforce it. And he's taking a chip, and he wants his deputies to all take them.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on the air with us with Alex Jones. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Jones and Mr. Norrie, this is a pleasure and an honor to speak to you. I'm a longtime listener, and
thank
so
you.
Is most of my family.
Excellent.
Two-part question, actually, and I'll be brief. I am very angry about the way that they have treated Ron Paul in the media. They pushed him to the side, and I've heard media people say he's unelectable, and I don't agree. I think if enough people will back this man, whether they black out his media coverage or not, I think he's electable, and I think he's the only one that's worthy of my vote.
His views are almost libertarian. He's not a Democrat, really. He's not a Republican, which is what he is. He's more like a libertarian.
Well, just the long and short of it is this. He won second place in Nevada, and they literally on national television said McCain got second place. National hoax. He got second place. They haven't counted all the votes. It looks like he may have gotten first in Louisiana. No coverage of that. He was given six
They didn't add up his votes in New Hampshire.
Exactly. The debate last night, he was given, they timed it out, it's on Prison Planet, we have the whole breakdown, prisonplanet.com. He was given 6 minutes, 31 seconds. Romney was given 22 minutes. He was given a third less time than all the other candidates and less than half the questions. So they're openly cheating him there.
And he was winning in the beginning every debate. Via internet polling.
That's right. He always wins those polls, but then they stop the poll, and the next day they come out and say he lost. I mean, there's definite chicanery going on.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. This is for Mr. Jones. Several years ago, in 2002, there was a show called The Invisible Man, a brilliant science fiction thriller, and everything you're talking about tonight was the main plot of the show, and I thought it was just brilliant writers coming up with extraordinary plots. It's everything what you're talking about. I was wondering if you know about the show, if you've ever met the writers, and things like that.
Was that a sci-fi channel program?
Yes, and then it mysteriously disappeared only after 2 seasons.
Well, I know George has had a show on there, too. I'm not a big TV watcher, but I did watch half an episode one time of that. You'll see this plot throughout all these movies. The best-selling book by Michael Crichton, State of Fear, is about all this. And at the end, he talks about the Rockefellers and eugenics. And at the end of the book, he has like 50 pages saying, by the way, this is all real.
Mm-hmm.
That's Michael Crichton. You know, he's a surgeon, scientist, top 3 authors right now, fiction. So it's good people in the system, I think. A lot of people see that on TV and they go, oh, that's... And I used to even think this like 10, 12 years ago before I met a lot of these TV and Hollywood people. They're trying to sneak this out. It's like Dean Haglund on the X-Files spinoff Lone Gunman, where they have an episode where the government secretly...
It's a very popular show.
Exactly, where the government secretly hijacks a jet to fly to the World Trade Center and uses anti-terror drills as a smokescreen to fool the rest of the government into thinking it's real. That came out 5 months before 9/11. Turns out the government was running drills the exact day, and it was the exact same thing, basically. And he said that they were approached by people in CIA saying, you ought to put this in the plot.
How come the media didn't jump on that lone gunman story? It was huge.
Listen, I got a call.
It's bizarre.
I was here in Austin, Texas about 3 years ago. Phone rings. It's Dean Haglund. He goes, you ever watch The X-Files? I was on there. Did you ever watch Lone Gunman? I said, yeah. He said, I want to come by your house. And the next day, Dean Haglund comes to my house, and he says, the CIA approached us. That video's on YouTube and Google.
Right.
And he said they basically told us what were good plots to do. And but the larger...
Oh, wait a minute. Are you telling me the CIA approached the writers of The Lone Gunman to put this thing together?
Yes. He said, I can't say everything. Chris Carter can't say everything. But I'll tell you this. The CIA approached us with many of these plots.
And ideas. Before the programs were filmed.
And, you know, they got a lot of CIA people in the media, a lot of CIA people in Hollywood. So some of it is the government trying to plant things, revelation of the method.
That's amazing, Alex.
But a lot of it is people inside the government trying to warn. Like why did the government...
Good people in government trying to warn.
Exactly. Why did the government accidentally, they then tried to reclassify it, declassify Operation Northwoods, a U.S. plan right. to carry out 9/11 style attacks, 6 months or 8 months before 9/11.
Right. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with Alex Jones on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is John calling from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Hey,
thank you for your great guest. I have a question and a comment. Would you like the comment first and then the
yes.
question?
We'll take the comment and the question.
Okay. Then Barry Goldwater's wonderful book, With No Apologies, which he published in 1979, on page 126, he exposed a lot of the sellout of communist China. He said in 1951 and 1952, the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee, under the chairmanship of Pat McCarran, Democrat, Nevada, conducted a lengthy investigation into the activities of the Institute of Pacific Relations. The establishment of a communist government in China had destroyed American prestige throughout Asia. The committee concluded that the American policy decisions which helped establish the communist control of China were made by IPR officials who were traitors or under the influence of traitors whose allegiance lay in Moscow. IPR was a creation of the Council on Foreign Relations. The CFR is the American branch of a society which originated in England. Internationalist in viewpoint, the CFR, along with the Atlantic Union Movement and the Atlantic Council of the United States, believes national boundaries should be obliterated and one world rule established.
By the way, now, sir, Endgame covers all that. And of course, Goldwater died in the early 90s. Let me tell you, and again, Endgame covers this at the very end. we always knew the U.S. government elements of it. OSS was fighting with Mao against the Japanese. We always knew they did that, but about 8 years ago, I literally fell out of my chair. I mean, I literally was on my knees. I couldn't believe it. They had the old CIA section chief on there admitting that in 49, our government kicked the nationalist out and put Mao Zedong into power. That is now completely declassified, and we actually cover that in Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. See, earlier when I just mentioned that we put the Chinese in, the Chinese communists who killed 60 mil, I have all the documents to back that up, but they even go on the History Channel and admit it now. Sorry, go ahead.
And Goldwater would do that, too.
Well, Goldwater exposed it. Yeah, I mean, Goldwater talked about how there was a congressional committee that first exposed it. Look, we always knew it. We always had some documents. Now it's totally admitted. And then, but in 19...
What, and you know what wiped out Goldwater when he was running against LBJ?
They ran that, the nuke going off,
yeah, exactly.
And the little girl.
Wiped him out.
They said that they're going to nuke you if you don't vote for LBJ.
Let's take as many calls
so
as
we used to
can.
Own this radio station.
We are running out of time. You're absolutely right. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Alex and John and George.
You've got us.
Good. I'm so glad to talk to you. This is a great program.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I had a question, and I also wanted to make a statement. I have a child that she's 33 now, and she went through the entire school system without any vaccinations. And the way I did it was very simple because I knew about what Alex was talking about many years ago.
The waiver.
And so what I did was I went to a chiropractor, and he told me if I believe it's contraindicated to her health, just he gave me a note that said that, and I presented it to the school since kindergarten, and she went all the way through school without any vaccinations. And
but there's no law, so you don't even need that.
Exactly.
And how is she? She's probably pretty healthy, isn't she?
Oh, she's a beautiful girl. She's a vegetarian, so she's never had any dead animals in her body. She's beautiful, long hair down to her waist. She's gorgeous. She's healthy. She's never been sick. I mean, knock on wood, but she's never been sick, which is fantastic. So that's one way you can avoid vaccinations, and you know, by going to a holistic or naturalistic doctor. And I think most chiropractors know about this.
Well, but my challenge to listen. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the other things I wanted to make, one was that statement in trying to help people to understand that they have a right not to have their children, you know, inoculated with foreign substances in their blood.
And the bigger story is, even if you're for inoculations and don't know the truth, find out they're lying to you that there is no law. Just type vaccine waiver form, but then that's a waiver form when there's no law to begin with. They even trick you to do the form as if there's some legalese. See, that's the big issue, is why are they lying?
They're given money each time a child is inoculated, so the schools are really for it as opposed to for your health and well-being.
Ma'am, fluoride's good for you. Mercury's good for you. Oh, by the way, we're hearing they have this California study about how autism's still going up, but they took the mercury out. They didn't take the mercury out. In 2000, they passed federal regulations saying vaccine makers are recommended to make lots without mercury.
Let's go east of the Rockies now. You're on with Alex Jones on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Oh, yes, sir.
This is Lewis.
Hello, Lewis. Where might you be?
I'm in the Catskill Mountains hiding out.
Out in the New York area. Go
yeah.
ahead.
My question is, don't we outnumber these people?
Don't we what, Lewis?
Outnumber
them. Outnumber.
Outnumber.
Oh, sure. We outnumber them in terms of
but they use,
sheer numbers.
They use propaganda, though, and trickery, as George was saying. I mean, he's the ultimate carnival hucksters with trillion-dollar budgets.
Right, because I was in the military also, and I'm not going to be fooled by that. And
do you believe, Lewis, do you believe this is going on?
Oh, definitely. And I feel that Don't Tread on Me is going to be our call.
Well, people are waking up, and more every day, and again, as they find out they've been lied to. I mean, how many things has this government lied to us about? How many things have big corporations been caught lying to us about? You know, how many things have they been caught doing? I mean, it's on MSNBC now, what we reported on a decade ago, that Bayer Pharmaceutical, this is all they've been convicted, in France, knowingly took Factor VIII blood product that had HIV and hepatitis in every shot and gave it to hundreds of thousands of hemophiliacs who died worldwide.
Just give us one leader who will tell us the truth.
Well, they're bought and paid for, unless it's Ron Paul, and they demonize him and lie about him and You know, it's just, but again, it's a process. And George, I got to say it. I got to give credit where it's due. You broke the ice on a lot of what we're seeing in this modern movement.
You guys, I broke it on mainstream. And I consider Coast to Coast because it's a national
program. It's a crossover.
It's a big national mainstream show.
It's huge.
So that's what I did. But you guys out there, toughen it out. You're the ones that brought it to our attention.
But George, you took Coast to Coast AM in a whole other direction. I mean, you do all the staples and everything else, you know, like you talk about the entertainment stuff. But, I mean, you've got hardcore guests on every week. I mean, it just blows me away, and it just shows, though. But, I mean, when Kramer is on is on MSNBC, she's in the Federal Reserve's Private and Criminal.
And when's the last time you would ever think he would have said that?
Well, it's because he's
fed up.
We do outnumber them. Most people in media and the corporate system aren't bad. They bought into the propaganda too. It's a fraud. It's a daze. It's a spell. They mesmerize, and then we all kind of follow the false narrative script that they give us. But as soon as that breaks, it's over. We were kooks 10 years ago talking about the Federal Reserve. Now it's on MSNBC.
Kennedy talked about it, and look what happened to him.
He was going to abolish it, and they blew his head off.
Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
This is Leslie.
Leslie, take it away. We only have
a
few minutes
Leslie
left. Go ahead.
From Missouri.
All right.
Yes. And I had a question for Mr. Jones.
Go ahead.
And I was going to talk about the VeriChip. Do you know anything about the VeriChip or Applied Digital Solutions?
That's an IBM front company.
Yes, it is.
In their 2000 financial filings, IBM owns their debt. They've lost money every year they've been around, but they keep it as a front PR company to go on TV and just introduce the idea of the implantable microchip. And they're busy trying to push it on prisoners. They got California to adopt it, but then they pulled out. Reuters reported they're trying to make the Alzheimer's patients take it. They've gotten the Mexican Attorney General, president of one of those Latin American countries, to take it.
Thank God for Catherine Albrecht.
Yep.
She's toughing it out with that, and she does not let that go, Alex, at all. Couple minutes left. Take a few minutes. Tell me about the two major websites and what people can do to get more information.
Well, I just got to say it. It's a real honor to be able to share the microphone with you, George, and I love it when you orbit through Austin once a year. So thanks for having me, and I look forward to being with you tomorrow at TalkFest at the Convention Center, I guess in the second hour of it from 3 to 4. I hope to see all of you out there. Bottom line, it's a scary job I've got, but I do it because I research, I find these things out, I want to warn people. That's what the news sites, PrisonPlanet.com, TruthNews.us, InfoWars.com, that's what they do. And I've made Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement. It's the most important film I've ever made. I think it's one of the most important, and I'm not trying to toot my horn, it's scary. The most important film is just documenting the facts of the New World Order total system and their endgame. And I hope people will go to InfoWars.com and order the DVD Endgame. I hope they'll go to PrisonPlanet.tv and they can download it in super high quality, near DVD quality, at PrisonPlanet.tv for 15 cents. That just pays for the bandwidth, 15 cents a day. And I hope that they'll burn copies of it off the site and get it out to people and make copies of the film, because it's the most important thing I've ever done, and people need to know the master plan.
You got it. Alex, you are one of the best, and I want to thank you for coming on the program and continuing to support us here at Coast to Coast with the things you do. By the way, I love that sound with a computer goes on. It's angelic, isn't it?
I know. It's my fault over here.
Okay, so you're going to come by Talk Fest tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Watch on stage with me.
Absolutely. And again, George Norrie, I want to thank you, because just with the Gardasil and the microchip news and the rest of it, I remember in 2002, before you were even having me on, when you nationally told the firefighters and police they didn't have to take that smallpox vaccine that was killing so many of them. And I think this show, with you at the helm, killed that program, because then they were going to try to make the public take it. And I know that that, again, that's something very important you did, and you've got to get praise for that.
I learned a long time ago that the airwaves belong to the public, and I never, never in my career want to abuse that.
Well, you've got the you got the biggest will and the most courage of anybody with a show your size in the world.
Thanks, Alex. By the way, I want to thank, by the way, some of the folks at KLBJ, Adam Romig, Thomas McDonald, Chuck Loesch, engineers. Thanks, guys. We'll be back.